churched friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
The sandy-haired son of Hollywood lost his faith in all that's good. Closed the curtain, unplugged the clock, hung his clothes on the shower rod. But he never got undressed, and no, he never made a mess. It's funny how life turns out. The odds are favored, the stakes are down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here on the 27th of June now, 2005, and it's so good to have you joining us again for another week, another work week starting up, and a lot of information going on, a lot of things that Dennis posted on the website, so I appreciate his work, and we're going to be getting into some of that tonight as much as we can. There's so much information to cover that we scarcely have time to do it, but there's some other things developing as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had Jim Condit Jr. on this broadcast in the past as he has been running for Congress, and as a part of the federal law, he's able to run certain ads and get information out in the mainstream media that otherwise he wouldn't be able to do. And I guess there's some special elections going that are going to be coming up here in Ohio. Well, not here in Ohio, where he is, but anybody can do this in their local area. And Jim is organizing another election and getting some information out about the New World Order and the things that are going on around the world. The Hegelian dialectic, folks, is at work in our society today. Everywhere we turn, we see the Hegelian dialectic, these created crises that are being orchestrated as a pretense by which to accomplish the global agenda. So this Hegelian dialectic situation that is going on today is something that we need to be aware of and something that we need to expose. If you don't know about the Hegelian dialectic, and I know all of you, if you've been listening any length of time to this network, you're very well aware of it. However, there's so many out there in the mainstream that have never been exposed to First Amendment radio network or any of the alternative media that tells the truth, disseminates information that can be relied upon. And so the idea is to take this message to those so-called unchurched masses in that respect. And the guy that's doing this better than anybody that I know is Jim Condit Jr., and he's joining us on the broadcast tonight. Jim, are you with me?
Yes, how are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. You started this back in 2004, didn't you?
Actually, 2002, and actually I did it as far back, using the reasonable access law, that is, to get radio ads on the air. I did it as far back as 1987. And at that time, we actually put on vote fraud commercials and pictures of aborted babies, and Mike Bailey made that second thing pop. He perfected the art of it, you might say. He ended up raising several hundred thousand dollars to put TV ads on. Well, we put TV ads on too, but it was on cable. He got them on major channels and so forth. And anyway, the idea is simply that there's some laws that are still in the favor of the normal people, and one of them is the reasonable access law. Anybody who gets on the ballot, gets in the race, doesn't even have to be on the ballot, even a write-in, the radio stations are supposed to, and they, after a tremendous lawsuit that was won by a fellow named Becker in 1996, where they tried to consign his ads to the middle of the night, and he sued him and won a resounding victory in the appeals court that's in D.C. I still don't know why we won that. I guess there's still some free speech liberals there. Then they have to run your ads in the time period the way you say it, in the time period you designate, such as like you could designate 12 to noon, or I mean 12 to 3 in the afternoon if you want to be like on the Rush Limbaugh show, for instance, in a certain radio station. They have to run it. They have to run it for the lowest cost that they sell time to anybody else all that year, and they also have to run the exact text that you say. They can't censor the ad. So obviously the type of ads we would put on would never get on the air any other time of the year, except that they have to operate, the federal communication license stations have to operate under this law, and if they don't, the law actually says that the candidate, if they keep your ads off or something, it actually says that the candidate gets ownership of the station if it's proven that they violate a candidate's rights. Well, that's never happened, but that's how strong the law is, was written to attempt to force these stations to, at least in the last 60 days before an election, give a fair hearing to the candidate. So that's how we get them on, and anybody in the United States, by running as a write-in or getting on the ballot for Congress, could do this. And there's some other interesting parts of the law that, for instance, if this is in the original Constitution, you can run for a congressional spot, okay, even if you don't live in that district, as long as you live in the same state. So in the state of Ohio, I could run for any congressional race, even if it was in Cleveland and I live in Cincinnati.
That's very important because... If your particular area does not have a very large population, you're able to run in an area where it does have a large population.
That's right. But then there's another way around that. That's an easier solution to it. Technically, any station of the FCC in the United States has to run your ad. So, for instance, I'm running in Cincinnati, but if I had enough money and I said, I want to run one in Chicago, I want to run some ads in California, as long as they're federal communication licensed stations, which would be all your ABC, CBS, NBS, NBC affiliates, all your Clear Channel stations, they would have to run my ad anywhere. Or they couldn't say, well, I don't think you should be running it in California. I could say, no, I think I can raise more money if I run it in the Los Angeles area. So then they would have to take them. So there's all kinds of ways that this law is in our favor. The main one being, though, of course, that you can put ads on that they can't censor.
Fantastic.
That's the main thing. And if you want, I could hit the button and play two of these ads for you.
Absolutely.
So that people could get an idea, your listeners can get an idea of what we ran. I got one from 2002, what we have queued up, and then we got another one from 2004. So we could do that at whatever point you think.
Yeah, we can do that here in just a moment. I just want to say this. Listeners, the point here is that everyone's always talking about the problem. We're always covering this information, and people say, well, what can we do about it? Here's a guy right here that has a solution to waking up the masses. And that's the most important thing, because there's strength in numbers. If we have enough people wake up, you know, and we are able to expose what the controllers are trying to do, and what a wonderful way to get the information out about Agenda 21, as I was talking to Jim last night about this subject. You know, we're losing our private property rights. When you have the Supreme Court, five black-robed demons on the Supreme Court look America in the eye and basically put a gun to Lady Liberty's head and pull the trigger. You know, they said that you have no private property rights in this country. We're going to have multinational corporations from foreign countries owning all of our land. Now, if that isn't enough of a wake-up call to America, I don't know what is. And so this information has to get out into the public, and that's why what Jim is doing is so important.
Well, thank you for that, Darren. Of course, the important thing is not what I'm doing; it's what everybody else could do. Not everybody wants to make a spectacle out of themselves in public, and really, I don't either. But it's something you do because I feel, since I know how to do it and can do it, then you'd feel like a traitor if you didn't do it. Because whenever, you know, but the important thing is that, and I've been begging some of the outspoken people around the country who are famous on the internet or do their own speeches, and who think like we do, to do this in their area. I mean, what really would hurt the ruling elite is if these commercials started to appear in 50 media markets. I mean, not necessarily my commercials or what theme I'm doing, but for instance, I've followed this stuff avidly since mid-70s, 30 years ago, and I never heard of Agenda 21 till last night. At least it never registered with me. And that, of course, as you explained to me, really shows the nuts and bolts of how they're trying to take over the United States. I mean, I didn't realize they have such a detailed plan hanging out there, you know.
Right.
So if imagine that, though, that if 50 or 60 people did this, and it took us, in Cincinnati anyway, it took us about $11,000 to $15,000 each time to get on their 300 radio ads, which is pretty many in a two-week period over two talk stations. We do it on talk stations so that we are hitting a pre-fabricated market, you might say, a pre-built market. When you get on right
demographics, and those people who are listening to music wouldn't necessarily be interested in government anyway.
They may not be. At least we don't have enough money to find out. But we know the people listening to talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, even Air America, are interested in political things. And they're looking for the truth, and most of them, or at least a number of them, think they're getting the truth. So we go on right in Sean Hannity, right on Rush Limbaugh, and we say, the draft is coming, or they're going to keep our soldiers in the Middle East for two generations, or all of the major TV networks are controlled by Zionist Jewish faction. At least they're the ones that have their hand on the censorship buttons in the censorship room. And these are going right over Rush Limbaugh to his listeners, so I guess some of them think I'm crazy. But then another ingredient to this formula is that you always direct them to a website, because we've got 1 minute on each commercial, but we direct them to a website so that they can now find unlimited information. You know, they go to our website, but then they're going to find a link to Jackie Petrou's website at Sweet Liberty. Now, you know how much information she has up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll put a link to stopagenda21.com, which you gave me last night, your website, you know. So this is the secret. The Internet makes this feasible. If it wasn't for the Internet, these ads there would not be any way to help the person who thinks, well, that doesn't sound right, but let me go look at it. Let me go look at the information just to see how dumb it is. Or just to see what
a way of having supporting documentation to back up what you're saying.
Exactly. And so the serious person is going to get in there and say, well, wait a minute. If this is true, and a lot of times they can see it's from news articles, why are we not hearing this on the major network? So that's the vice. So the one thing, you know, we might say two things here why we're doing this campaign again. There's a special election here, and the election day is August 2nd, because Congressman Rob Portman is now heading up the CAFTA, which is like the NAFTA for North America, to further reduce every country to a province in the New World Order. He's heading that up for George Bush, so he left a vacancy. So that gives a special election. He resigned and got confirmed. But there's two things. If someone is going to take over a country, the first thing they have to do is take over the communication system, and the ruling elite of the Illuminati or Freemasonry, however you want to characterize it, the New World Order crowd, they've taken over every major station in our country, the ones that people listen to driving to and from work. They've got control of the radio and the TV. Clear Channel Company alone owns 1,400 major radio stations. All we're doing with this, Darren, is with in one area, and I wish we, again, I wish others were doing it in all different areas so we could hit all major media markets. We are breaking their censorship while people are going to and from work. When our ads hit over WLW in the middle of the day, we're hitting 200,000 people in drive time. 200,000 people driving to and from in their cars. Okay.
200,000 mostly ignorant Americans.
Yeah.
People who do not have a clue what's really going on in the world because they're kept in the dark by those very same media institutions that you're getting your message out on.
Yeah, and maybe they don't want a clue. Maybe they're gonna don't want to know. But at least we see, for whatever reason, and I know we're probably all of diverse backgrounds in many ways, but those of us like yourself and Jackie Petru and myself and the people listening, for some reason God has given us the grace to see what's going on. So we kind of fit the description of the watchman on the watchtower in Ezekiel, the Old Testament, where it says if the watchman sees danger and cries out, and the people do not hear, then the people will be responsible for their own destruction. But if the watchman sees danger and refuses to cry out or doesn't cry out, then he will also be held responsible. You know, so we have the duty to cry out. And so secondly, then, when they get to our website, we have this practical plan that is the only way to go to turn our country around peacefully. And that's the precinct strategy. And I won't go into that too deeply because we may be running out of time. But it is simply this. The battlefield for our country is not in the ballot box anymore, because the ballot box has been stolen. There's four private companies, all mega, you know, Rockefeller-type establishment companies who count 99% of the American vote, right? And what happens is, and you can check in your area, wherever you live, unless it's part of New Hampshire and maybe one small county in Texas and one small county in Iowa where there's 200 voters, where it wouldn't make any sense to them to bring in a computer. You call and you'll find the votes or ballots are snatched away from the people at closing time, counted in secret behind armed guard, and then they publish the result. And nobody's allowed to check the ballots. And if you put in a request to have a recount or check the ballots, you got to give them 3 weeks notice, and all ballots can be switched in one day, let alone 3 weeks. They may be switched as they're going downtown, you know, but votefraud.org, Darren, if I can give that website out, people
Absolutely.
Could learn more about this at votefraud.org. That's our website. It explains quickly this voting problem. But so the battle is you've got to restore honest voting. And at the county level, at your precinct meeting, you probably don't even know what happens, but in every county, the Democrats and Republicans hold a precinct meeting every 2 years, usually around May of the even years, like May of 2006. Our goal through these radio ads is to also alert people to at least attend their precinct meeting, because this is where the battle is. And if we could get enough people, neighborhood people, going to these precinct meetings and participating, you could then replace the leadership of one or both parties, restore honest voting, and then also that's where your candidates come from. The part, and then if you want to start a third party and you have honest voting, you're going to have a chance to win, you know. But until we restore honest voting, there's no hope for that. And also, this is where all your local candidates come from. 90% of the time, either the guy who gets in office to make the laws is either endorsed by the Democrat and Republican Party, who we know are both run by the newer or older crowd in every county, as far as I can tell. But that's not the point. That's the mechanism. We have to go in there as enemy agents, take over the county, and restore honest voting, and then put good candidates in. And at that point, you could then say, okay, now we're all the Constitution Party or whatever the case may be. But the third parties are checkmated for 1,000 years if they don't... taking over the counties. And most people don't even know these precinct meetings exist. It's like we've been on a, because some of the leaders of the quote conservative patriotic movement have been false leaders from day one, right? Others are just co-opted because they look around and it seems like too big of a job, and there's no money in telling people the truth at this point. You're not going to get rewarded by the Republican Party for telling people this stuff, so there's no money in it. So, but it's like for the last 30 years, or 40 years, our side has been trying to make progress, the normal patriotic constitutional American side, which would be, you know, 95% of the people if they simply could understand what was going on and realize that their freedoms were in danger. But it's like our leaders, there's a football game going on, and it's like our leaders say, hey, don't go out. They don't even tell us where the field is. They just say, go in the locker room and watch the monitor and write letters to the people on the football field, the other side, and ask them to quit scoring touchdowns against us. You know, please don't pass NAFTA. Please don't cooperate with Agenda 21. Please stop illegal immigration. Well, we're writing letters to the football players on the field on the other side who are scoring touchdown after touchdown. Our point is, let's get out of our fantasy world, leave the locker room, get out on the field, and start playing the game. Now, we might get bruised up a little bit when we first get on the field, but I can guarantee you that if most Americans got on the field, we would bruise them up a lot, because they are basically the people that go to these precinct meetings to vote in the county leaders who are selling out our country are basically county employees who have no conviction whatsoever for this evil stuff. They just want to keep their job. And plus, they don't connect up that what their county leaders are doing or cooperating in this whole program. So we at least need to get Americans going to the playing field, the precinct meeting, passing out literature, and hopefully then eventually getting involved and being at the meeting to elect the people. Okay? So those are the two reasons. One, we want to break the media censorship, which is the first step to anybody that, you know, we need to, if we can't even say in public what's happening. And as far as I know, as far as hitting this many people in public, our commercials have done the most comprehensive job and almost the only job. There's some other examples. Public, where the average person who's uninformed is listening. And then secondly, the precinct strategy is the only way to peacefully bring back our country. Do you want me to play these ads real quick before?
Sure.
I got a conference call. We're running conference calls all month.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why you're on, too. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be having a conference call at the bottom of the hour here. And if any of you want to take part and find out some more information, this would be an excellent venue to ask Jim questions about how you can get involved, maybe be a candidate yourself.
At least in the 2006 elections, because, you know, this time this is a special election in Cincinnati, you know.
Right. So the
now,
point here... Go ahead.
Let me quickly tell people that if they want to call in to the conference calls, first of all, I'm on Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so if you, I really am not too enthusiastic about them missing the rest of your show. So you can call in a few minutes at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. But we also have another conference call. These are all live, and you can talk back and forth after we give the presentation. Talk back and forth to me. At midnight tonight Eastern Standard Time, which like would be 9 p.m. West Coast, and at 1:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be like 10:30 p.m. West Coast. And we're also doing that every night this week. So you could also do it tomorrow night at 9 o'clock or tomorrow night at 10:30. But the number that you would call to get in, let me just give that out here, is 712-580-0100. That's 712-580-0100. And then once you get in, you need a PIN number with a pound signed after it. And the PIN number is 232-163-POUND. That's 232-163-POUND. And as I say, we're trying to raise the donations. We're also trying to find people who help other people find their way to the conference calls. People that will pray that we get the job done, and also if anyone wants to raise money for us, we'll pay a finder's fee for every donation you bring in. So those are the thing. Now let me, before we, it's 10:22, if you don't mind, I'll quickly play two of the radio ads for you. Is that
sure,
okay?
Sure, go right ahead.
One of them is from 2002. Of course, I could still use it today, and this one is on, this is one of the ones we used in 2002. It's called Who Controls the Media? And let's see. We always hope these things work. So this might be like a 3-second delay, but this should work. Just a second. maybe a 4-second delay.
If Osama bin Laden's agents took control of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox, we Americans would need to know. Well, bin Laden's agents don't control the big media, but people who love Israel first and America second do. The current government of Israel believes it has a divine right to vast tracts of land in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq. 9-1-1 was the springboard for a war in the Middle East by which Israel hopes to steal that land. Israel wants Americans to go to war with the Arabs for Israel's benefit. That's why the Israel firsters who own and run our big media are not telling us the truth about 9-1-1, the war on terror, the conflict in the Middle East, or about why they are pushing us into war against Iraq. For the full story, go to realnews247.com and click on Who Runs the Media. You will never look at the news or the world the same way again. And email your contacts nationwide to go to realnews247.com, paid for by Jim Conta Jr. for Congress. If you look at only one website this week, please go to realnews247.com.
Oh, could you hear that okay, Darren?
Oh, I could hear it wonderfully.
Okay, let me, and this is one we used in 2004. Now, in both of these years, we used about 10 ads. Here was one of them we used in 2004, just 6 months ago or 8 months ago, whatever it was. And again, this may take a second.
The ruling elite behind Bush and Kerry intend to jam down our throats a universal draft of America's young men and young women. $28 million was put in the 2004 defense budget to reactivate draft boards across the USA, filling 20,000 draft board positions to be ready by June 2005. 80% of these positions were vacant until recently, and all of them have been effectively inactive since 1973. Do you think they're filling these draft board positions up for fun? Israel firsters like Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard and Bush advisors Wolfowitz and Pearl couldn't care less how many young Americans die in an invasion of Iran or Syria to further their evil plans. We need our kids in the USA to help us fight those who are warping America's destiny. The organized Jewish lobby is represented by AIPAC, the ADL, and the ACLU. Go to realnews247.com for tons of documentation and hope, paid for by Jim Conta Jr. for Congress.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay, so I hope that came over clear, too.
It did, and it's a very good message, too, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Both of them are still relevant. Let me read real quick before I have to go here. If you got one more, I'll read what we're the main – we're going to use – instead of doing 10 commercials because it's a two-week blitz, we're going to use one commercial this time, and then I'll give our P.O. box for people that might want to help, and if you don't mind.
But go ahead.
Here's the ad we're going to run this time. It says, the 9-1-1 terror attacks against the World Trade Towers in 2001 were a pre-planned operation to kick off World War III, perpetrated by evil factions hiding within U.S. military intelligence, which are secretly loyal to Israel and the organized Jewish lobby. Arab patsies were set up as the Lee Harvey Oswalds of 9-1-1 to be framed on cue by the Jewish-controlled TV networks. Phase one of 9-1-1 was to trick Americans into supporting attacks on Arab countries and to get U.S. soldiers stationed permanently near Israel. That's why they are kept in Iraq now. Nothing to do with the interests of the USA. The second horrible terrorist attack, if they can get away with it, will be to start a draft of our children to attack other Arab countries and to trick us into giving up constitutional freedoms. Listen to our full-hour radio show Sunday night at 10 p.m. on 550 a.m. WKRC. And for info and hope, go to realnews247.com. Paid for by Jim Conta Jr. for Congress 2005. End of ad. And incidentally, Darren, those radio shows on Sunday night at 10, which should air July like 15th, I don't know, the last 2 weeks of July and August 1st, those are also, you can listen to those on the Internet at 550 WKRC a.m. If anyone wants to help, and please put Darren Weeks down as in your envelope somewhere so I know where these came from. If you do send a letter or send any help, if you want to help us get the ads on the air, one person can donate anything from $1 to $2,000, and you could send it to Jim Conta Jr. That's C-O-N-D-I-T Jr. for Congress 2005. And P.O. Box 11339, that's P.O. Box 11339, Cincinnati, Ohio 45211, that's Cincinnati, Ohio 45211. And in a day or two, we'll have a PayPal option up on realnews247.com. So at any rate, be sure now if you write to me, though, you put down Darren Weeks so I know where it came from. and can tell Darren what's going on. I appreciate, Darren, you giving us all this time, okay?
Listen, anytime you want to come on this broadcast, you're more than welcome.
Okay, well, I certainly appreciate it. If there's anybody out there listening that may consider doing this in 2006, we would help you in your area. We really want to see 50 or 60 cities get bombarded with ads like we're going to bombard the Midwest around Cincinnati in the end of this next month.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I know you have to run.
Thank
God bless you, man, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Darren. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, we got to go to the break.
Okay.
712-580-0100. The PIN number is 232-163-pound. We got to go to the break. We'll be back in just a moment with some information. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Help! This man needs help!
Step aside, I'm a doctor. What seems to be the problem?
I think he's having a heart attack.
Okay, it appears this man is still breathing, which means he still has a heartbeat. I'm unable to help him until he stops breathing and his heart ceases to beat.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm a doctor.
You would never trust your health to someone who merely claimed to be an expert. We require proof that they know what they're talking about.
Is his heart still beating?
Yeah.
Then let's give him a few more minutes.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
I took an intensive 8-hour course on culinary resuscitation.
That doesn't make you a doctor.
Have you ever breathed the breath of life into a lifeless body?
No. Have you?
Well, no, not yet. Give me a minute.
Yet when it comes to spiritual matters, people listen to many self-proclaimed experts. Jesus rose from the dead to prove his authority. Who are you following, and have they risen from the dead? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Broadcast American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks. I want to give this number again as this conference call is just getting underway. And folks, I'm not going to be offended. If you want to make a difference and you want to go and connect to this thing and find out some more information, you're welcome to do that. 712-580-0100. Again, the conference number is 712-580-0100. And the PIN number that you have to enter, as you'll be prompted to do so, is 232
163, and I think he said there was going to be another one at midnight, so if you do want to stay tuned, then you'll have the opportunity to do that. But please, folks, take part in this. Find out how you can make a difference and get the information, this information that we're always covering, out to the mainstream, because that's what we're talking about. 712-580-0100, and the PEN number is 232-163, and pound after that, the pound sign. So that's how you can take part in the conferences. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to communicate, you don't want to talk, you just want to listen. He has people that come, that came on board. He told me last night that just comes on and they just listen to what he has to say. But you're welcome to ask questions. You don't have to give your name if you don't want. But the point is that we're talking about solutions. We're talking about a way here that we can get this information out to the mainstream. And the media won't tell the story. The alternative media is limited in scope. No matter where you go, even the more listened to places on the alternative media still has a very limited number of people listening, compared to what we're competing against, which is a constant bombardment of lies from the controlled media. And so that's why we're doing this. That's why we feel that it's so important. And Jim Condit Jr. and myself, we're going to be working together to try to get some information out about Agenda 21, sustainable development. As this, I believe this is the reason. Agenda 21 is the reason why we have the wars going on today. It's the implementation of the United Nations system around the world. This is globalization. The control of land, the control of the resources of the earth, including human resources. Because that's what they view you as, human resources. In fact, they come out openly and talk about it. They openly speak of human resources today. On the website at stopagenda21.com or americanexpose.com, spelled with a K, Dennis has posted under today's date several very important items. Among those items are the vast majority of think African aid is wasted, poll shows. I just happened to have an article about how proving from the Telegraph out of London, the same publication, how $220 billion were stolen by Nigeria's corrupt rulers, which amounts to the entire amount of aid that has been sent to Africa in the West by us. It says the scale of the task facing Tony Blair, and who is Tony Blair? Ladies and gentlemen, he's a globalist socialist. The scale of the task facing Tony Blair in his drive to help Africa was laid bare yesterday when it emerged that Nigeria's past rulers stole or misused £220 billion. That is as much as all the Western aid given to Africa in almost four decades. The looting of Africa's most populous country amounted to a sum equivalent of 300 years of British aid for the continent. The figures compiled by Nigeria's Anti-Corruption Commission provide dramatic evidence of the problems facing next month's summit in Gleneagles of the G8 group of wealthy countries, which are under pressure to approve a program of debt relief for Africa. So here we see that Bush and Blair, twin socialists, are clamoring for debt forgiveness in Africa. The globalists are saying that we're not doing enough in Africa, and yet the money, according to the controlled media in Britain, they're admitting that the money that we send to Africa is being wasted. Is that any surprise? And so this piece that Dennis posted, vast majority think African aid is wasted, poll shows. Well, certainly that's the case. That's certainly the case. Moving along here, some other stuff that he posted. And, of course, Agenda 21 deals with combating poverty. Why should Tony Blair or Bush or any of the other
leaders of any quote-unquote sovereign country be worried about debt relief or bringing African people out of poverty, because it's in the agenda. There's a whole chapter in Agenda 21 dealing with combating poverty. I believe it's Chapter 3. And that's nothing but redistribution of the wealth. Spending American labor around the world. We don't really have a real monetary system in this country. The money that you have is really debt money. But it is your money, these debt credits, is the means by which your labor, your work, is being stolen. And so essentially what we have is a situation where you and I are working, we're going to work every day, and our labor is being stolen from us. Our labor, we are literally slaves to the worldwide UN system. Now, another thing that Dennis posted is world landmarks to be wrapped in white bands for G8. This is Dateline London from Reuters. Sydney Harbour Bridge, London's St. Paul Cathedral, and Berlin's Brandenburg Gate will be among the landmarks around the world to be wrapped in gigantic white bands on July 1st to kick off a week of action against poverty. Once again, Agenda 21 deals with combating poverty. Combating poverty. The developing countries have to be brought up, even as the developed countries, you spoiled bred Americans out there, have to be brought down. As part of the largest ever anti-poverty effort, organizers said on Monday, they had planned events, marches, petitions, and parades to take place throughout White Band Day. The day allows us to take our message to the public in a very visible way, Kumai Naidu, head of the Global Call to Action Against Poverty, told Reuters. White Band Day precedes the Live 8 concert on July 2nd, aimed at pressuring the Group of Eight nations into taking steps to eradicate African poverty, ahead of their meeting in Scotland on July 6th to 8th. Well, all this money is going to be going into Africa, and for what purpose? Will any of it actually reach the African people? Has it already reached the African people? In Sierra Leone, the cotton tree planted by freed slaves when the nation was founded will be draped in a white band, and in Kenya, a white band will be wrapped around the Kenyatta International Conference Center. Around the world, smaller versions of the monumental white bands will decorate the wrists of GCAP supporters. In the UK, the national slogan that adorns the wristbands is Making Poverty History. But other countries have chosen different slogans, with the Indian campaign operating under the banner of Deliver the Promises. So there you have it. Moving along here. From the CBC News, Dennis posted this on the website as well. Water for profit. We have our situation today where we're being made dependent upon foreign food. The farmers have been paid for years not to plant. Under sustainable development, only multinational corporations will be able to own the land. The Supreme Court decision of last week gave the green light for governments, local governments, to take away your private property. Eventually, nobody will own any property, if you can call owning it, by today's standards, really real ownership. But eventually, you will be forced out of your houses. Many are being forced out of their houses right now. But multinational corporations, which desire the land, which promise to offer the community a benefit for the land, for land use, they will be able to take control of your land, your property. And they'll throw you a bone or two, maybe, if you're lucky. I still don't know what the status of Jesse Hardy's eminent domain case is, as he eventually lost, but yet he has not received, last I knew, according to Henry Lamb, he has not received a penny for his property yet. It's all tied up in courts. They're applying fees to the amount that was awarded to him, or that he agreed, finally had to agree to, because they were going to take it no matter what he did.
But from the CBC News, water for profit, how multinationals are taking control of a public resource. It says water, like air, is a necessity of human life. It is also, according to Fortune magazine, quote, one of the world's great business opportunities. It promises to be the 21st century, to the 21st century, what oil was to the 20th. Did you hear that? They are saying that water is going to be so valuable that it promises to be to the 21st century what oil was to the 20th century. And why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen, when water falls from the sky? Oh, but will water fall from the sky? How often will it rain when we have weather modification technology that has been documented time and time again on this broadcast and is documented at AmericanExpose.com and weather.sweetliberty.org? We have weather modification, climate manipulation going on today. Shortage of water. If there is a shortage of water, a massive shortage of water, you better believe it is an artificial drought. A drought created. Do droughts really happen for real? Well, of course. Certainly they do. There are certain areas where droughts take place naturally. But we've never had more manipulation of the climate than we have today. We've never had so many artificial natural disasters. And why do I say that they're artificial? Well, gee, it just so happens, just like September 11th, isn't it amazing that these pretenses for control take place? All of these things that are going on in Asia right now, these thousands of non-governmental organizations that are taking place, helping to rebuild society, helping to build capacity, helping to define how these people are going to be able to have their livelihoods, they are building capacity in Asia. And how are they able to build capacity in Asia? Because there was a clean sweep. The tsunami situation that happened over there, I believe, was an artificial creation for the purpose of implementing Agenda 21. Sustainable communities, as we've documented a week ago on this program, are being built in the tsunami region, according to CBS and the International Organization for Migration, the IOM, is a big part of building these sustainable communities. They say in this CBC report, in the past 10 years, three giant global corporations have quietly assumed control over the water supplied to almost 300 million people in every continent of the world. Did you know that? Why aren't we hearing more about this? Why isn't the U.S. media reporting that? A 12-month investigation by journalists in Canada, the U.S., Europe, Asia, Latin America shows that the results range from questionable to disastrous. Again, they say, in the past 10 years, three giant global corporations, multinational corporations, listeners, have quietly assumed control over the water supplied to almost 300 million people in every continent of the world. A 12-month investigation by journalists in Canada, the U.S., Europe, Asia, and Latin America shows that the results range from questionable to disastrous, and it shows how well-meaning municipal governments in the U.S., and Canada can become vulnerable to the persuasive techniques of these high-powered corporate giants. All created crises. I read somewhere that Germany has bought one of our major water companies. We are embroiled in a worldwide United Nations system. National sovereignty is a thing of the past unless people wake up to what they're doing and stand up for your rights and reclaim your country. And that's why it's important to call 712-580-0100 at midnight and talk to Jim Conda Jr. Enter the PEN number 232163#. Again, 712-580-0100. 0100, and the PIN number is 232163#. Say what you want, ask questions, or just listen, but get involved. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Here we see from Phoenix, Arizona. This is something I meant to cover on Friday's program. Unprecedented move by APS improves natural environment. Power plant closure gives rebirth to important Arizona waterway. We have dam removal going on in this country, and we are told that we are energy. We're in an energy crisis. This is dated June 18, 2005. It says, Arizona's first commercial hydroelectric power plants ceased operation today as part of a unique endeavor between APS government agencies, Native American tribes, conservation groups, and academia. By closing the Childs and Irving hydroelectric power plants in central Arizona, full water flow was restored to Fossil Creek after nearly a century of restricted flows. The Childs and Irving power plants, located in a remote area between Strawberry and Camp Verde, were considered an engineering and logistical marvel when constructed almost 100 years ago. The small hydroelectric power plants provided energy essential to Arizona's growth. And folks, they still do, but that doesn't matter anymore. They say powering the booming mining operations in Jerome and the Bradshaw Mountains and later energized the growing communities of Prescott and Phoenix. In 1999, and in concert with the Yavape Apache Nation, American Rivers, Arizona Riparian Council, the Center for Biological Diversity, the Nature Conservancy, and Northern Arizona Audubon Society, APS decided to decommission the Childs and Irving plants and restore full flow to Fossil Creek at the cost to APS of about $13 million. Despite the cost of decommissioning and lost revenue from plant operations, APS determined that restoring Fossil Creek to its natural flow outweighed the business benefits provided by the facility. Oh, really? He says, our decision was based on what was best for Arizona. That's Jack Davis of APS. He's the APS president and CEO. He says, as a responsible corporate citizen, we carefully reviewed our business goals and determined that closing the power plants, returning the stream to its full flow, and recreating the natural condition of this beautiful area was simply the right decision. Now, why would you think that that would be the right decision? When you are the CEO of an energy company, it seems to me that your job is to provide energy to the people, to the population, to the cities which need the energy. And you do so, and that is how you make your profit. Here we have a company, an energy company that is basically removing a dam, removing a hydroelectric power plant, which is designed to create energy and profits for the company. And he says, as a responsible corporate citizen, we carefully reviewed our business goals and determined that closing the power plants, returning the stream to its full flow, and recreating the natural condition of this beautiful area was simply the right decision. Why was it the right decision? More than likely, he figured it was going to cost him more if he didn't do it than if he went ahead and did it. He added, quote, this is an unparalleled and exciting opportunity to return a work site to its pristine condition, creating an ecosystem where nature can continue to thrive. This cooperative effort will ultimately enhance the native riparian area and enrich an already popular recreation area that can be enjoyed for generations. Unquote. How will it be able to be enjoyed for generations when generations won't be able to use the land? That's the question. See, all this sustainability nonsense, all this sustainability garbage that's going on
supposedly we're doing it for future generations. Well, how, what good is it going to be if future generations aren't going to be able to develop the land? If future generations aren't going to be able to even set foot on the land? We have absolutely lost our minds in this country. And I want to know where the outrage is. I want to know why people aren't up at arms about this. Oh, yeah, arms. That's another story altogether. They got plans to take those away, too, just in case you might decide to get up at arms or take up arms. I saw a few days ago on the anti-communitarian website, the website for the Anti-Communitarian League, which is taken care of by Nikki Rapana and Nordica, her daughter. And it's the link there for the Anti-Communitarian League. If you have not been to that website, you are missing out on a lot of information. They deal with communitarianism, which is the future, ladies and gentlemen, under sustainable development. Communitarianism is the reason for the Supreme Court decision last week. Communitarianism, what I call community communism, that is what is going on in communities as this revitalization process takes place in cities all across America. They link to this information, and we're almost out of time, but I want to share what I can of it with you. It says the case for domestic disarmament, and this comes to us from George Washington University. The case for domestic disarmament, prepared by Amitai Etzioni and Stephen Helland. It says on November 18, 1991, the responsive communitarian platform was released. It spells out an encompassing agenda and contains the following statement about domestic disarmament. It says, there is little sense in gun registration. What we need to significantly enhance public safety is domestic disarmament of the kind that exists in practically all democracies. What is a democracy? Democracy is a socialist form of government. America was not founded as a democracy. America was founded as a constitutional republic. But we've become a democracy because people have not been paying attention and doing what they need to do to preserve what we have. They say the National Rifle Association, and folks, I think they're controlled opposition, but at any rate, the NRA, they say, suggestion that criminals, not guns, kill people, ignores the fact that thousands are killed each year, many of them children, from accidental discharge of guns, and that more people, whether criminal, insane, or temporarily carried away by impulse, kill and are much more likely to do so when armed than when disarmed. No, folks, that's a lie. They're completely ignoring that. They're talking about how many people are blown away by nutcases that happen to get guns. Are these nutcases going to continue to get guns after guns are outlawed? Outlaws are just that. They're people who do not follow the law. The people who do follow the law, those are the ones that are going to be disarmed. And how many children are saved every year by guns that are lawfully? I guarantee you there are more children that are saved by guns than are accidentally killed by guns. But they don't put that in here, do they? The Second Amendment, they continue,